Father, it is a privilege and an honor to come before you, to bow our hearts before you, to receive your word. Let your witness manifest, Lord, in truth and in faithfulness. Let your witness manifest in the spirit and life of Jesus. Let your witness manifest in the faith and love of Jesus. Let your witness manifest in the character and nature of Jesus. Let your witness manifest in the witness and testimony of Jesus. May we hear your word. May we understand your word through the witness and testimony of Jesus. May our inward parts receive your word. Let your word be formed in us in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, so that we will put on Christ and be enabled, O God, to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless our hearts. Bless us, O God, that we may understand that the name of Jesus is the door that you have given us into all things that you have for us, Lord. It is the name by which, O God, you enable us, O God, to realize, O God, our citizenship in heaven, O God, our citizenship in the kingdom of God, our citizenship as sons of God. You enable us to realize all things, O God, from you, O Lord. For nothing in the name of Jesus will be withheld from us, O God. For all things that we ask in the name of Jesus will be given to us, will be done for us. May we rise, O God, to put on Christ. May we be clothed with Christ. May we truly become ministers of Christ, O God, as you manifest, O God, your true word into us, O God, in Jesus' name. So come, Holy Spirit, and write the word into our hearts, Lord. Let it be manifested into us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Communicate the word to us in the substance of the Master's fullness, the bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy, so that we will put on Christ and walk in the abundance of all that you have for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to arise. Enable us to be a people, O God, who understand our destiny through the word, Father. And may we realize that word and walk by the Spirit in the name of Jesus always, so that we can be the blessing we are designed to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk about ministry. We are on the subject of the Spirit of Christ. For those of you who have not been with us, let me just put together a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. He became a life-giving spirit. And this is at the heart of what God has provided us with. A life-giving spirit. That is the spiritual genetic blueprint of all that God has ordained for our lives. Put on Christ and you will become the chosen instrument of the living God. Put on Christ and you will walk into those things that God has for you. The Spirit of Christ will enable you to do all things. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is it that is in Christ that will strengthen you? What is it that is in Christ? It is the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ is what will strengthen you. That Spirit of Christ, which is what will enable you to do what you are struggling with. That's the key. That's what you ask God to perfect and complete into you. The Spirit of Christ. So that you will be enabled to realize this life-giving spirit. You see, life, Zoe life, flows out of the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the conduit through which that life will flow into you. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, the last line on verse 19. The provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, New King James Bible. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The fundamental purpose for which God provides you with the Spirit of Christ is so that you will do all things. So Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So through Christ who strengthens me, through His Spirit being perfected and formed in me, I am being prepared to do all things. It is a process. It is one of the processes that unveils in our salvation. It is the process by which we become sons of God. It is the process by which we become a royal priesthood. It is a process by which we become a prophetic people. It is a process by which we understand that we are a chosen people. It is a process by which we come to realize that we are sons of God by adoption. That Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of adoption. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of promise. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of faith. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of wisdom. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of knowledge. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of understanding. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of strength. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of courage. That Spirit of Christ within us is the Spirit of truth. That Spirit of Christ within us, right, is the light that God wants to give us. So what can you think that you need to become a complete human being, to become a complete person, to be fully restored, to have strength, to have courage, to be able to stand and be able to stand in authority in high places? It is all defined in the Spirit of Christ. When we pray in tongues, we are trying to energize what God has locked into the Spirit of Christ. Always remember this when you pray in tongues. You're not praying in tongues in a vacuum. The mystery of Christ is coded into the Spirit of Christ. And it has purpose. It has purpose for you in all eternity. That's why we are a chosen people. That's why we are an anointed people, right? The Spirit of Christ is the anointing that God has given us in the name of Jesus. If the anointing stands just as an anointing, it can be misused. But if it is the Spirit of Christ that becomes a fatness within us, clothing our inward parts, then we will be enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's see the spiritual picture, okay? Let's turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3, the peace offering. The peace offering is the offering of communion. All right? Verses 3 and 4. Leviticus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. By fire to the Lord, meaning by the Spirit. All right? By the Holy Spirit. All right? He shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar of the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. What exactly is the peace offering? The insides of the animal, clothed with his fat. All right? Clothed with his fat. What are those organs representing? In the natural human body, those organs that are mentioned are organs of functionality. Whether it's the kidneys or whether it's the liver, they are organs of functionality in our natural body. So similarly, in our spiritual being, we have organs of functionality. And those organs of functionality enable us to be wise, for instance. Enable us to be strong, for instance. Enable us to have courage, enable us to have wisdom, enable us to have knowledge, enable us to stand in positions of authority. There are spiritual organs of functionality in our being. Our spirit man just isn't an empty void. Our spirit man, our soul man have functions. Our soul is made up of our character, our nature, our personality, our mind. That is our person. But our spirit man has got organs of functionality. And these organs of functionality are clothed with fat. They are clothed with fat. If you look at verse 16, the Lord makes a dramatic statement. All fat is the Lord's. All fat belongs to Yahweh. That fat is the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ that defines right function. So that fat can be the spirit of wisdom, it can be the spirit of knowledge, it can be the spirit of understanding. All things that you need, God has provided for you in the Spirit of Christ. It can be faith. There is such a thing as the spirit of faith. There is such a thing as the spirit of humility, the spirit of contriteness. Because the word of God is spirit and life, you find that every word in the Bible, when it's defined in the context of the testimony of Jesus, it always has a spirit and life component. In singular words, there is spirit and life. It is the spirit and life that God has defined in Jesus Christ. So when the Bible says that Jesus grew up as a boy and the spirit of the Lord was upon him, the hand of wisdom was upon him, God is trying to tell you something, that he was manifesting and perfecting wisdom in the growth of Jesus Christ from a baby into the Messiah who would go to the cross on our behalf. Are you with me? And into this blueprint that is called Christ, God invested resurrection power. Resurrection power. The surpassing greatness of his power. And that surpassing greatness of his power is towards us who believe. Amen. And we can energize this by the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave us the gift of tongues. So if you take a singular word like wisdom, it has a spirit and life component. That life is the testimony of Jesus, the life that Jesus lived. That describes what the Spirit is meant to achieve. His Spirit defines that life. So he is a life-giving Spirit. Through his Spirit, this life of Jesus will flow. Where is it meant to flow? In you and me. That's why Paul says, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. If you and I are strengthened with the Spirit of Christ, we will be enabled to do all things. That's what the Word of God is telling you. You are not supposed to, as a Christian, try and strive for things in your own strength. You ain't going to go anywhere in your own strength. All you will find out as you try harder is what you can do and what you cannot do. It's what you cannot do that frustrates you. It is what you cannot overcome that frustrates you. So if you keep on trying your best, you're not going to find out anything but yourself. And every time you try and strive for something in yourself, you will always find that you are a very limited creature. No matter how brilliant you are, no matter how talented you are. You may be super intelligent in one area of your life and be an absolute dope in the other areas of your life. You find this particularly with musical geniuses. If you go through and read through the lives of people like Mozart and Beethoven and whoever else, you know, they had some ridiculous lifestyles. Some of it was utterly stupid, but they could make brilliant music. But through the Spirit of Christ, God wants to make you a complete person. The person that he is molding you after is Christ Jesus. He's the person. The Spirit of Christ is the genetic blueprint of Christ Jesus. And the genetic blueprint of Christ Jesus is to be developed inside of you. When you were born again, the seed of Christ was planted inside of you and new realities were opened inside of you by the Holy Spirit. You actually experience changes in your character and your nature. That is the prophetic picture of how God is going to save you. The whole of Christianity is based on Christ saving us. It is not based on us trying to observe a law. The law is to tell us the difference between right and wrong as a guideline. But we are to put on Christ. When we put on Christ, what is it that God is releasing into us? He is releasing into us this life-giving Spirit. So this life-giving Spirit describes wisdom into you. This life-giving Spirit describes knowledge into you. This life-giving Spirit describes courage into you. Amen. Courage is described in both the lion and the lamb. Different kinds of courage. When the lion of Judah roars, right, the heavens shake. But when the lamb went on the throne, the foundations of the creation were shaken. All of evil was brought in submission to the courage of the Lamb of God. All that is for us, so that we can become sons of God. We cannot be magically sons of God, guys. Unless we put on Christ, we are going to be just like this. And being just like this is not going to go anywhere. Common sense. Common sense. Our faith must have an evidence. What is the evidence of true faith? That you are putting on Christ. That you are being strengthened through Christ. You are being enabled to do things. That your prayer life is based on what you realize from Christ. That you are not just trying your best. Where are you going to go with your best? The reason why so many of us look so unhappy is because we are trying our best and we are finding our best is taking us nowhere. But we still insist on our best. That's the tragedy of it all. But God doesn't want you to do your best. He wants you to realize His best. His best has been given to you in Christ Jesus. It is in the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit of Christ is meant to become a fatness that clothes every organ of functionality of your being. I'm speaking a concept, all right? A spiritual concept. When Jesus Christ raised the dead, there was something operating inside of Him that enabled God to move through Him. The dead were not raised up magically. There was something within Him that enabled the power of God to flow through Him and raise the dead man from the dead. There is something that is functional. When Jesus stopped the storms, it didn't magically happen. There was something that was functioning inside of Him that had the authority and had the ability to bring into action what God had in His will. And the storms were stopped. Whether we call it authority or whether we call it power or whether we call it something faith, it is a complex functional reality. It is one of those things that is called the mystery of Christ. Now God has locked that functional mystery in the Spirit of Christ and He wants to bring that functional mystery into you so that you will, through the Spirit of Christ, be enabled to do all things in accordance with the Father's will. Oftentimes we hear from the pulpit, brother, you must obey God. How does a disobedient creature obey God? Nobody ever thinks of that. So where is the spirit of obedience? It is in the Spirit of Christ. Put on Christ and you will change. Put on Christ and you will change. And that obedience will grow on you. The desire to obey will grow on you. The desire to pray will grow on you. The desire to read your scriptures will grow on you. The desire to be alive to God will grow on you. It's a life-giving spirit. Life implies growth. Life implies growth. Life is not a static reality. What we call life in the world system that we live in is not what life is all about. We see a decaying life. In our bodily functions, we are dying. Only the Spirit of Christ counteracts that. But ultimately, there is a sentence of death over us because of original sin. Enoch was the only person who broke out of that reality. He walked with God and he was not. But that tells you something, that he walked with God. But through the Spirit of Christ, God is enabling each one of us to walk with God. That's the key you must understand. So you need to pray and ask the Lord to manifest that Spirit of Christ that will enable you to do literally all things. All things in accordance with the Father's will. Can you catch that? The answer is not trying your best. The answer is realizing God's best. That's why the Bible says our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Because they're not going to get us anywhere. We are meant to realize all things through the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God operates through the Spirit of Christ. Put on Christ and you will realize what God can do with you. And what God can do with you is what you can't do with yourself. Are you listening? This is a process. It is a process where you will experience spiritual warfare. Hello, are you listening? This is where you will experience spiritual warfare. Only a Christian experiences spiritual warfare. A non-Christian does not experience spiritual warfare because there's nothing to warfare about. It is only when you put on Christ that you have warfare. It is only when you put on Christ that doubts come into your heart and mind. It is only when you want to hear the word of God that there comes questions. You never have questions coming into your mind when you're reading a textbook in physics. I mean, we all did our A-levels half a century ago, or two centuries ago, or something like that. Right? Do you know that the stuff we memorized and sat for exams, 80% of that stuff is no longer in the textbook? But when you were reading the textbook on physics, was there a doubt? Is this true? Never came into your mind. Why? Because it is spiritually of no relevance. But when you read the scriptures, there always come these questions. Why? Because the scriptures are spiritually relevant to you. The scriptures are the conduit through which the Spirit of Christ can be put into you and be transmitted into your being so that they will form a fatness within you that will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's what the enemy does not want. He doesn't want the church to put on the righteousness of God. He doesn't want the church to put on the righteousness of God for the simple reason that he has got no defense against the righteousness of God. All the occult power in the world has got no effect against the righteousness of God. It is entirely of no use. You remember Balaam? When Balak asked him to prophesy against the tribes of Israel, he said, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do to affect these people. But you cause them to sin, and you will destroy them. Yeah, that's what he said. But I can't prophesy evil against them, because all of the power of the occult has got no effect on them. The same goes for the Christian church. You can't affect the Christian church through the occult. You can only affect the Christian church through sin. If you and I succumb to sin, then we can be defeated. Then we can be paralyzed. Then we can be rendered immobile. Then we can be rendered useless. That's why, right, that we always battle with things in our lives, sins in our lives. Sins of judgment, sins of malice, sins of pride, sins of arrogance, lust, whatever it is. But the Spirit of Christ is meant to enable you to be an overcomer, enable you to walk in the strength of the Lord, enable you to do all things and become a living expression of the righteousness of God. Let me show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen to the words. That we might become the righteousness of God. Are you listening? That we might become the righteousness of God. Are you the righteousness of God? That is the crucial question you need to ask yourself as a Christian. Or have you stopped the righteousness of God and you are busy trying to manifest your righteousness? We might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. In Christ. That is what the challenge of the Christian faith is. That we become the righteousness of God. That we learn how to function by the Lord. It's not a question of whether you can pray in your own strength. It's whether you are praying through Christ who strengthens you. That's the question. When you preach behind the pulpit, it's not a question whether you can preach a sermon Or you can put together 10 verses and preach and make sense out of those 10 verses and speak a sermon. The question is, are you doing it through the Spirit of Christ? Are you doing it in the enabling power of the Spirit of Christ? The challenge to us as we bring up children is not whether we can bring up children in our own strength, is whether we are bringing up children to enable them to function in the Spirit of Christ. Are we depending on the impartation of the Spirit of Christ to raise up children, or are we depending on our lectures to them? How have you brought up your kids? Out of your own hard work and your own struggles, or have you brought up your kids out of the Spirit and life of Jesus? That's the question God is asking the Christian church. What are you functioning on? Maybe your kids have grown up. They're always your grandchildren. What do you teach them? What do you teach the Sunday school children? How to live through Jesus Christ, or how to live by themselves? If you're teaching them how to live by themselves, you're making a fatal flaw, because man does not know how to live by himself. That is the history of the human race. You can teach a child how to put on Christ. You can teach him a simple thing like ask Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to enable you in Jesus' wisdom. That's not a hard concept to catch. That's why we pray. Why do we pray? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. A knock, it shall be opened unto you. So what are we doing in prayer? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You cannot give thanks for something that you do not know is real. You cannot be thankful for make-believe stuff. You either can do all things through the name of the Lord Jesus, or you cannot. But what he is saying is that as you learn how to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, then you will also realize a thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving to the Father. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is a verse not to be parroted. That is a verse to be lived. That is a verse to be developed in the Christian life. No matter how old we are, this is the testimony we must get into. You see, there is a level of revelation that we have today in the Christian church based on what the generations before us have gone through. We are able to understand certain things because the generations before us, in spite of all of their gerrymanderings and their trips in the wilderness, they have realized some things in the Spirit of God that are true, that are being handed from generation to generation. This is the Word of God. We are the spiritual product of our fathers before us, not our natural fathers, but our spiritual fathers. That's one of the reasons why we must pray for the nation of Israel, because we have received so much through our spiritual fathers who were Jewish people. The Bible says we are inheritors of the promises of Abraham. Now, all the promises of Abraham came through a Jewish race. The 12 apostles of Christ, when the church was formed, those 120 people who were in the upper room, who were baptized by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to the church, were all Jews. They are our spiritual fathers. And We are standing today in a position able to hear many good things from God because of the Spirit of Christ that has been perfected and completed through all of these generations that have come through to us. And so as we stand here individually, there is something that God is building out of each one of us in the Spirit of God. Don't think your life is insignificant. You are of great significance. If you're going to live for another 5 years, there's a heck of a lot you can do in those 5 years, guys. For heaven's sake, stop complaining about those creaking knees and get down on your knees and pray. Do something sensible with your life. Put on Christ. Establish something in the Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 onwards. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 onwards. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and all of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together, into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Do you understand that? Every time we get something right, it is like putting a brick into that building in the Spirit. That glorious tabernacle that God is building, the tabernacle of God, the tabernacle of His glory, the tabernacle of all ages. Whenever we get something right in our lives, whenever we overcome something in our lives, we are driving a nail into Satan's coffin. Positively, we are establishing something of the testimony of Jesus through the church. And that testimony will continue. It is a building block in the future. You may not understand how it is affecting the reality of the church in the future generations, but it is. We can't explain it, but every time something of the testimony of Jesus gets perfected in the church, something is being built into place in the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit of God we are talking about. We're not talking about the spirit realm. We're talking about the Spirit of God. If you establish something in the Spirit of Christ, you are establishing something in the Spirit of God. You are making an eternal contribution towards the building of the Church of God. Isn't that nice to know? Isn't that nice to know, guys? So don't waste your life away thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not important enough. I'm not standing behind a pulpit. My life is of no significance. Rubbish. That's how the evil one defeats us. And we spend the next 20 years before we go on to be with the Lord chasing after the things of the world. Worrying about aches and pains and our medical bills. Your life is of significance because you are sons of God. Because God sees you in eternity. You are a morning star. That is the prophetic word over your life. So what you establish in the Spirit of Christ is establishing the prophetic word. And God is saying, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Ultimately, in the universe, God is creating. Everything in the created universe is dependent on the unveiling of the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? And you have been allowed to become part and parcel of that church. That church is in the Spirit of God. That church is not a denominational labeled church. It is a church that is the body of Christ. It is a church built out of living members of a living body. And it's a mighty functional organism, organism, if I may use those carnal terms. It is a body of his flesh and of his bones. It is meant to function in the eternal and the abiding. It is meant to govern God's universe. Hello. It is meant to govern God's universe. It is meant to govern God's universe, and God has given you the privilege of having an inheritance in that awesome reality that he is creating. In the natural sciences, we are beginning to find that the vastness of the universe is mind-boggling. We can't conceive the vastness of the universe. It is so humongous and great. Yet God makes this statement through Paul in the book of Colossians, that all things in heaven and on earth are reconciled through the blood of the Lamb. To whom does the blood of the Lamb belong? To you and me. But we have such a little, we have such a small thought process over all of this vastness. And God is asking us to think differently. God is asking us to lay that brick that he has bequeathed to us. Whether it's a big brick or whether it is a small brick does not matter. But take hold of that inheritance and do something with your life. Whether you're teaching a kid through tuition, if you're teaching him how to receive Jesus Christ, you're doing something for that kid in eternity. You're building something in eternity. Can you imagine doing something in eternity, guys? Every non-Christian who has done many things in the world that we live in has done nothing in eternity. I will repeat that. Every non-Christian who has not built anything in Christ Jesus has done absolutely nothing in eternity. But everything that you and I are enabled to do, planting the seed of Christ, or giving, being vessels, are conduits to the planting of the seed of Christ by the Spirit. We are doing something in eternity. We have the capacity of influencing something in eternity. Think about that. Think about your parenthood in that context. Think about your grandchildren in that context. Think about your generations. Brother, when we say that Abraham is the father of nations, that title applies to each one of us too. That is part of what it means that we are inheritors of the promises of Abraham. We too are fathers of nations. We are fathers of nations in eternity. Think about that. Nations will be healed through our ministry. That's what Revelation 22 says. Revelation 22 is the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22 tells us that we will be used to heal the nations. But for us to do that, we have to be developed in Christ Jesus. We have to be developed in his Spirit and his life. That life-giving Spirit must germinate within us, and it must be developed within us by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be developed by the flesh. It can only be developed by the Spirit of the living God. And it's powerful, guys. It's powerful. I'm trying to give you a sense of worth in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to you. Don't live your life as if you are an insignificant nothing. It's all a question of how you think. Sometimes I get very discouraged. But every time I come back to the Word, God tells me, I have given you something so that you can make known something. And it's important that people understand my Word, because my Word stands forever. Sometimes people give me a lecture on the experiential because they experience many wonderful things. But your experience is always time denominated, brother. But the Word of God stands forever. That the Word of God stands forever. I'm excited about that word, and I'm hoping that you will capture the flavor of that word. so that you in turn will release that word, because everything you release in the word of God is abiding and eternal. It will go on working in a person eternally. So this ministry is a ministry of the word by the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We are hoping that by the Spirit you will understand that and you will take hold of that vision, that in the sphere of influence that God has given you, you will manifest that word and bequeath eternity to whoever you are going to face, whoever you're going to come into contact with, whether it's your children, whether it's your grandchildren, whether it's your friends, whether it's a total stranger, whether it's a kid you talk to on the street. Some of you guys have been teachers. What are you doing with your life? You can talk to a young man. You've been talking to kids all your life. What are you doing with your life? Having been trained as a teacher, you have inbuilt into you the skills to talk to someone. You have the word of God inside of you. Teach that word. Communicate that word. Give that kid a sense of purpose and a life. Pray for that kid. He comes from a home that is in a total state of chaos. Where is he going to find that peace? How is he going to know that there is a peace unless you lay your hands and pray for them? If they don't come to your class anymore, your tuition class anymore, so okay. Will you starve? Whether you teach one kid or you teach 10 kids, the same process, isn't it? Keeps you just as busy, if you're keeping yourself busy. But get into those things. Impart things. You have the capacity to impart the eternal and the abiding. What are you doing with it? That's one of the reasons why I encourage two of my children to become teachers. Now I know that they have the capability to be other things where they can earn very much more money. That's not the point. The point is whether you can manifest an inheritance that will stand in eternity. That's the ultimate question of life. So think about it. Think about those things. Think about the opportunities you have. Everybody will accept a prayer. Everybody needs a prayer. Everybody needs to be blessed. So pray by the Holy Spirit that you, and ask somebody, do you want to be blessed? Can I pray a prayer of blessing over your life? Just pray the prayer of blessing. If that person feels peace, the next time you tell them, you want to pray for them, they will say yes. Let the Holy Spirit work. Don't try and figure it out. You have to open a person's heart to the testimony of Jesus. We are meant to be a church out there in the world that we live in. We are supposed to be a church functioning out there. The Spirit of Christ is the basis of our functioning. It is not just there to make us heavenly beings. Yes, our ultimate destiny is to be heavenly beings. But the Spirit of Christ is perfected into things we do every day. Provided you choose to put on Christ in that situation. Some of us choose to get angry with somebody instead of putting on Christ. The testimony of Christ is what? Testimony of Jesus is to pray for your enemies. It is not to criticize them and to run them down. But always we choose to criticize. Because it doesn't cost anything to criticize. It just takes your big mouth to open, isn't it? That's so easy to do. But to pray, that's a different question, isn't it? Because once you start being led by the Holy Spirit may say, why don't you fast for him? That we don't like to do. That's what it means, carry your cross daily. We don't like to make a sacrifice for somebody else. We just want Christ's sacrifice for us. That cannot be, brethren. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Verse 2. And Paul says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because that is the driving force for his ministry. Many of us think it is a degree from a theology school. It is not. It is Christ Jesus in you, activated by the Holy Spirit, manifested through everything that you say in thought, word, and in deed. And whether you are a minister of Christ is very easily determined, because everything you say and you do is measured through the testimony of Jesus. Nobody can bluff. We can criticize, but nobody can bluff. Why does he say, and him crucified? Because that is what energizes us. Christ paid a price for me. Can I make a sacrifice for somebody else to come to know him? Sometimes I feel very tired coming here to Seremban, because I'm no longer a young man. Yes, I draw from the Lord the strength. But sometimes I feel very tired, but I still come. Why? Because the word of God has to go forth. Whether there are 5 people here, or whether there are 2 people here, or whether there are 100 people here, or 1,000 people here. Because God's given me something that is very valuable. And as you hear these words, as you come here and you hear the ministry that is in this place, God is giving you something that is very valuable. It is priceless. You need to turn that to life into somebody else. Doesn't have to that you have to get behind a pulpit and preach a message. If you're called to that, praise the Lord for that. But you can say that across a coffee shop table. Or you can invite somebody to your dining table and talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about how the Lord has touched your life. Glorify Jesus Christ and the doors will open for ministry. Jesus said, lift up my name and I will draw nations unto myself. That is the key to ministry. That is the key to break down strongholds. We don't have to go on a war dance every time we are talking to a non-Christian. We simply have to lift up on high the name of Jesus Christ. And I hope you are learning that in this ministry. I hope you're looking at the possibilities of touching human lives. Because everything we hear in the Word of God has to be put into practice. The word unpracticed is unprofitable. In the end, the word that is in you, if it is not lived, it is of no worth to you. You cannot be just a mere listener to the word. You have to be a practitioner of the word. The word has to be made life into you. Then you will grow. Then God will create you. Then God will fashion you. That's how the seed of Christ within you grows. That's how the Spirit of Christ within you enables you to become someone you have never imagined yourself to be. Just imagine you are a son unto God. Imagine that one day you will have the capacity to touch nations. None of us has that capacity. None of us has the nature and the character to be able to bless nations. Do you imagine how much of love you need to have in your heart to be able to bless a nation in eternity? There is no doubt that that love is in the heart of God, but you need to be the channel through which that love moves. Do you realize that it has to be through many, many, many brethren who work together with you? It cannot be just individual. brilliance. So all these things are being put to test today on earth. What are you doing with it? Sometimes we have to serve. Sometimes we have to lead. Sometimes we have to make responsible decisions. Not convenient decisions, but responsible decisions. People bring complaints to me. You have to think through what is right from your own conscience and move into it. You must know what is right and what is wrong. If you do not know that, you have my condolences, because you are destroying your own destiny in Christ. That is stupid. If we as Christians do not know, we who have been forgiven, we who have been healed through the stripes and wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not understand mercy and grace, who else is going to understand that, man? Being a Christian is not simply reading the chapters of the Bible and talking some high-flown theology. It is being able to put something together and build something in the Spirit of God. It has to be something genuine. It has to be something real. It has to be something that is an expression of Jesus Christ. It cannot be an expression of you and me. It has to be of Him. We are each an epistle of Christ. Ultimately, our configuration in eternity as a son unto God is described through this prophetic word that is called that you are an epistle of Christ. That's it. Everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is irrelevant. I am Reverend Dr. So-and-so. That is irrelevant. The only thing of relevance is you are an epistle of Christ. That's all. The rest of it, you can flush it down the toilet. I have 500 companies in my stable. You can flush that down the toilet through, too. The only thing that counts is what is the epistle of Christ in your heart. That's all that counts in eternity. Your identity is as an epistle of Christ. You are the seed of Christ brought into manifestation as an epistle of Christ. That is your identity in eternity. That is how God sees you. Your identity is entirely described in the Spirit of Christ. You are called to be manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. The rest of it in the flesh means nothing. It dies. It is entirely experiential. It is entirely experiential. That's why God allows us to grow old on this planet, not to see our backs and our knees creaking, but to get us to understand one fundamental fact, that everything established in the flesh of man dies, guys. Do you think it is of any relevance what great things you did 20 years ago? It's finished. You can't revisit it no matter how hard you try. It is gone forever. But everything that you have in the Lord, that is going to stand in your life forever. So develop all things through Christ who strengthens you. Develop all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, this fatness that enables your functionality, right? We just talked about it. All fat belongs to the Lord. The Spirit of Christ belongs to the Father. It has been bequeathed to you to achieve the Father's purposes. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. The last two lines on verse 27, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And the yoke will be broken, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, the New King James Bible says. If you have a New American Standard, this is what it reads. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Let me just read that very quickly. Give me a minute, please. And the yoke will be broken because of the fatness. What is the yoke that needs to be broken in you and me? The yoke of the world. We have learned to do things in the flesh. We have learned to do things in the systems of the world. Now we will learn to do things by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ will break the yokes of the world. There is a wisdom that is of the world. There is a wisdom that is of God. The wisdom that is of God is of the Spirit of Christ. The wisdom that is of the world is of the Spirit of the world. So as the Spirit of Christ is manifested inside of you, the spirit of the world is broken. If the Spirit of Christ is not manifested, the spirit of the world will continue to operate in you. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. To remove something, something has to replace it. So in every area of our lives, we are meant to discover that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. I hope you understand that. I hope you will pray that. This is not something you can do of yourself. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. So let Him do the work. But you need to understand that you need to move into those things where you learn how to function through Christ by the Spirit. That's why the Bible sometimes says by the Holy Spirit and sometimes by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, it always means the person of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, it always means the Holy Spirit working through you in the Spirit of Christ. That's why it is written by the Spirit. Are you with me? So when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, yes, they are manifested in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. But the defining reality of that gift, if that gift is going to mean something in the abiding, then that gift has to be defined in the Spirit of Christ. We have to operate it through Christ. This is why Ephesians chapter 4, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ's gift is defined in His Spirit. Now, Christ's gift, if you keep on reading in context, you will find that Christ's gift flows into the fivefold ministry, because Ephesians 4:11 talks about the ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. And then it says that they are charged with the work of developing people in the church, so that they will enter the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. All that is part of Christ's gift, including the building up of each individual. In the same way, when you talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have to be operated in the Spirit of Christ, because if it's not operated in the Spirit of Christ, it's going to be by default operated in some other spirit. It will start off as your spirit, and then it will become some other spirit that you become in partnership with. Are you listening? So you have a choice. You have received a gift from the Lord through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to develop that gift? Are you going to develop it in Christ, or are you going to develop it through your spirit man for your own purposes? Eventually, anything based on I will open the occult doors. Because that's how the occult was manifested through Lucifer. I will make myself higher than everybody else. I will be number one. Eventually he said, I will make myself the Most High God too. So you can operate your gift. I. Eventually you will die with your I. So the Bible says, build all things in the rock that is higher than I. So when Peter told Jesus, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. That rock is the rock of revelation of Himself. Jesus as the Christ. Every reality of Christ in you is defined in the Spirit of Christ. That is the rock that is higher than I. That is the basis of the rock that is higher than I. And you have to choose to put on Christ. You have to choose to build something in the name of Jesus. We all can build things in our own names. That's not a hard thing. It comes with the territory. We all love to do it. You love it, I love it too. But that part of us has to be put to death, because that is not going to give us life. Why is it not going to give us life? Just look at your life before. What did you gain out of doing things out of your own will? Out of your own ambition? What came out of that? If it didn't work in the natural, you think it's going to work in the spiritual? Come on, guys. If it didn't work in the natural, why will it work in the spiritual? So it is silly to think you can build a ministry using the name of Jesus in vain. You're wasting your life, like those guys in Matthew chapter 7, right? Lord, Lord, in your name we cast out many demons. In your name we did many miracles. And he said, I do not know you. Why did he not know them? Because they were not fashioned in the Spirit of Christ. Did they receive anointings from him? Yes, they did. Did they have a calling in his name? Yes, they did. Were they using the name of Jesus? Superficially, yes. But they were building all things for themselves. Everything was built in the spirit of self. That's why he said, I do not know you. Amen. I hope you understand this. I hope you will ask the Holy Spirit to build all things inside of you in the Spirit of Christ. Genuine mistakes are always no problem with God. Learn from your mistakes and walk, understanding that Jesus alone is the way, guys. There is no other way. Don't try to invent one. Don't try to twist the scriptures to invent another way. There are many seemingly spiritual ways that you can build. There are all kinds of cults that use the Bible too. But that which is not centered on Jesus Christ is not going to give you a future. So be wise. Build your marriage on Christ. If you have a problem with your spouse, the first person who needs to change is you. You need to find Christ. Because without Christ, there is no solution to the problem. Honestly, there isn't. The same way, if you have come from a disastrous background, from out of the world system, and you've become a Christian, you need to understand that the solution comes out of Christ. It is not going to come out of wishful thinking. Don't think that if God changes the situations, everything will change. It will not, brother. You will just discover a new set of problems. When you were in love, you thought that if you marry this woman, everything will be wonderful in your life. Then you married her and you have a new set of problems. Now that you are married. Doesn't matter how wonderful your spouse is. There are a new set of problems. In your work life, you thought, if I get promoted, everything in my life will be fine. Or if I get another $1,000 more, everything in my life will be fine and dandy. No, it is not. All you have discovered is a new set of problems. Some people think, if I have much, much, much money, I will be so happy. No, you will not. You will have a new set of problems. The big problem will be how to keep the money. So whatever it is that you need, the capacity to handle money, the capacity to handle authority, the capacity to stand the capacity to hold anything in the abiding, comes entirely out of the Spirit of Christ. It cannot come out of you, brother. Don't waste your life trying to invent a new way. There is none. There is none. There is none. Somebody has hurt you. You've gone through a disastrous marriage. Get out of it. Don't let it capture your future. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody cheated on you. And the rest of your life is mortgaged to that bloke. You must be crazy. Get out of it. But to get out of it, you have to forgive him. Hello? To get out of it, you've got to forgive him. If you don't forgive him, there is going to be no release. Now, the capacity to forgive like that is not in you. So don't try and find it in yourself. It doesn't exist in you.
It only exists in the Lord your King. He has to fill your heart and you will release that other person. In the same way, if people have cheated you, you didn't get that promotion, and because of that you rotted in some small school somewhere and nobody noticed you even were existing, then you've got to get out of that anger. You've got to get out of that disappointment. If you're angry with the government of this nation, you have to get out of that. It's not going to bless you. Huh? If you're angry with people of a particular race, you have got to get out of it. You can't live like that. It will destroy your soul. Everything in sin destroys your soul. And all you're doing is destroying your own destiny. I realize that there are many things hard to forgive. I've been with people who have hurt me very badly, who have betrayed me in so many ways. But you have to get out of it. Sometimes it is very hard. There's one incident I'm still working. It's been 9 years and I'm still working on it. Because every time that person's name comes out, I see black. That's not good. So I have to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it is to grow in Christ. That's the only way. Otherwise, how are you going to get out of it? But you have to get out of it. So that whenever you meet that person, you're not transformed into some other creature. Huh? Are you with me? Yeah. I know it's not easy, but through Christ you can do all things. You can't live in your past, guys. This should have been, that should have been, that might have been. Let go of the past. Get into the future. Right? Because if you don't, it will come out in the way you do everything. Because you are what you are. If you are a hurt person, you will always be a hurt person. Everything you say will communicate that hurt. You are called to freedom and liberty. Amen? Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this awesome treasure that is called the Spirit of Christ. May we discover the Spirit of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And may the Holy Spirit perfect the Spirit of Christ into our character and our nature. That every organ of functionality within us will be clothed with Christ. Will be clothed with the fatness of the anointing of the Spirit of Christ. And that fatness will break the yoke of the enemy. Break the yoke of sin, O God. Break the yoke of hurt. Break the yoke of betrayal. Break the yoke of anger. Break the yoke of bitterness. Break the yokes of lust. Break the yokes, O God, of every kind of pride. Every kind of selfishness and self-righteousness. Every kind of darkness of lust and greed and any kind of covetousness, Lord. Set us free. Let the Spirit of Christ bring freedom and liberty into our being. That we will come to love even our enemies, Lord. Because that's what you told us to do. But that can only come as we put on your Spirit. As we receive and realize your Spirit. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing into us this reality that is entirely in the Spirit of Christ. May we realize this reality and be set free in Jesus' name. Amen.